Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Last night of our summer series together, so this is officially the last night for a little while that I will ask if we can move to the middle here, the first couple of sections. We've got some great visual aids, and it's hard to see if you're all the way on the side. So I'll ask if you wouldn't mind getting up and in. Even if you do mind a little bit, if you would do that, that'd be great. But we appreciate it. I also got a comment from someone last week that I thought was neat. They said they sat by someone they hadn't talked to in a while when we did this. So this would be a good opportunity maybe for you to catch up with somebody. But as we do that, I think this will help us as we go through in class. I've already mentioned how much we appreciate the Tatums and what a great job that Monty does. He is still working as a professor for Fried Hardeman University, doing some distance teaching and training of other teachers and working with that program there. And that also, of course, allows them to be close to grandkids, which is a pretty good perk as well. So we're thankful for them, and I'll turn it over to Monty and let you share with us.
Good evening. First thing I want to do is for us to sort of take the time to look at some of the topics that we've been looking at over the last couple of months. During July, we looked at a family that reaches out, engaging with those who are different than us. A family that works together, learning from each other. A family that grows together, making time for spiritual growth in today's culture. A family that sings together, worship in song, and what it means to the church. Then this month, we've been looking at when we think about the future, when the prodigal doesn't return, when we care for aging loved ones, and when we make our family's faith our own. And then that leads us to the topic we're going to be looking at this evening, when we're anchored in God's Word. And I don't know about you, but for me, all of those other topics, if I'm not anchored in God's Word, I'm not going to really be able to do those other things. So it's very important. Raise your hand if you're a great-grandparent. All right? Maybe I should even start a little further back. Raise your hand if you're a great-great-grandparent. All right, now. You must have had them awfully young if you're a great-great-grandparent. All right. Six of them. Fantastic. All right. Now, great-grandparent. All right. Now, grandparent. All right. And this next one, probably 90% of us can raise our hand, a parent. All right, what we're going to be talking about this evening is very important for each of those categories. We're going to start out by looking at some verses in Psalm 119. First verse we're going to look at is verse 2. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. One thing that we need to make sure that we are modeling for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, is that God has our heart. If God has our heart, then God has all of us. And we're able to be able to do anything and everything that God requires if we make sure that we, number one, are keeping His testimonies, but number two, that we're doing that through giving Him our entire self. Now let's look at verse 24. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. And just like I was talking to the little ones a couple of moments ago, God's word is what guides us, is what strengthens us. God's word leads us in the right direction. And we have to make sure, number one, that we're following His word for our own self. But number two, we have other eyes looking at us. We have our children looking at us. But we have community looking at us. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, someone will look at us and say, I don't need to follow this person because he doesn't do what he says. So we've got to make sure our actions go along with what we're saying. And the only way that that will happen is to make sure that we're truly allowing His testimonies to be our counselors. Look over at verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. We're not guaranteed as to how long we'll be living. That's why each day that the Lord allows me to breathe, I need to make sure that I'm following His statutes, because I may not make it through tonight's lesson. If I don't make it through tonight's lesson and the good Lord decides to bring me home, then I've got to make sure I'm keeping His statutes to the end. And as a Christian, I've got to realize and remember, I don't know when the end is. So each day, I have to wake up and live that day as if it's going to be my what? My end. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Verse 59 and 60. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Now notice what that verse 60 says. I hasten and do not delay. How many times do our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren really see that we have a desire to be into God's Word? That we're hastening to be into His Word? So often, the devil plays a trick. And he wants us to take God's Word for granted. And if we're not careful, we're not into God's Word the amount of time that we need to be in God's Word. You know, it's just like my graduate students. They'll send me a message and say, Dr. Tatum, life happened. And I just didn't get that assignment done in time. And I'll say, yeah, I understand life happens. Because sometimes I haven't gotten things in time. But before I wake up in the morning, guess what better be delivered to my email? What you owe me. I'm going to give you a little grace, but not a lot of grace. Now, God gives us grace, but even Paul himself said, what about that grace? Don't take it for granted. But when we're thinking about His Word, we sometimes tend to take it for granted. Because we know God's there. We know He's there to help us. But sometimes we forget it. All right, flip on over to verse 81. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. God's not going to let us down. The question that I want each of us to ask ourselves as we leave this evening, am I living my life toward God's word in such a way that my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and my great-great-grandchildren know that I truly hope in His word? Because the only way that they're going to learn that is that we indeed are teaching it to them by our example. Look over at verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Can we truly say that? Can we truly say that God's word, I meditate on it all the day long? Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. When you're standing in Walmart waiting to be served, does your attitude that the other folks are seeing show that you truly believe that God's commandment is ever with you? Verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Verse 111 and 112. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. And we're going to come back to that concept of your testimonies are my heritage forever. Turn over to verse 145. With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. Now let's look at verse 160. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Now I want to go back to the second section of Psalm 119. Now I put this in on purpose because I thought the teenagers were going to be sitting here. And I wanted to really emphasize this section in Psalm 119. And it was sort of funny as we started to leave, a couple of teenagers said, I wish we were staying in here. But I said, well, maybe next time. But if you would, go to the next slide. This next section I think is very important for young people. And I'm going to go ahead and read all of verses 9 through verse 16. So as I'm reading, just go ahead and advance the slides. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Right, go ahead and go to the next one. Our blessings of being anchored in God's Word through several generations is what you see in front of you this evening. Now, looking at these Bibles, I'm thinking of them by way of our grandchildren. So we've got our grandchildren here, and we have their parents here. So first and second generation. Then we've got third generation, fourth generation, fifth, sixth, and seventh. And we're going to start with the seventh generation. Go ahead and go to the next. Thank you. This is our grandchildren's great, 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 great grandfather's Bible. And one of the reasons I'm very thankful that Beth and I have this is that we also have the picture of him holding this Bible. This picture was taken toward the end of the 1890s, and you can see he's the center gentleman, and he's holding the Bible. And back then, they used to tell them, get something that's really important to you. Now, notice some of his kids got bicycles, guitar, umbrella. But he was doing his level best to model for them what is important. This Bible is probably the first page, the date on it has gone away, and I probably would go away too if I was over 150, 160 years old. This Bible is probably somewhere from around 1830. But what is so important to me is that Joseph Franklin Turpin made sure that he showed the love of God's Word to his daughter, Nanny Irene Turpin, that married Thomas Franklin Roundtree. Now, in all the Bibles we have, Beth and I do not have Mama Nanny's Bible. But we do have a couple of study guides that her husband owned. And Papa Tommy was one that also showed his children the love of God's Word. But before we go any further, we've got Joseph Franklin, who shared the Word with Mama Nanny, who then made sure that her daughter, Mittie G, that we called Mama T, loved God's Word. And Mama T was Beth's grandmother. She, in turn, made sure that her daughter loved God's Word. And we actually have a picture. I was not able to find it, but we have a picture that Beth's dad took of her mom sitting down with this Bible and a couple of other Bibles studying and getting ready for Bible class. When's the last time your children or your grandchildren has seen you sitting down preparing for Bible class? Now, she wasn't teaching. She was just preparing to be a student. We need to make sure that we're truly modeling for our children the love of God's Word, because we've got to make sure that we are anchored in God's Word. And then Mom Britton, in turn, made sure that she passed on the love of God's Word to her daughter, who I'm blessed to have as my wife. This is best Bible that she got when she graduated from high school, much like our elders give Bibles to our graduates. And she still has the one that she got when she graduated and has several notes in it. And this one is the one that we actually took with us when we went to Guyana and to Russia on mission trips. But before I talk about some of these others, I just want us to see once again the thread. If it hadn't have been for the fact of Joseph Franklin, 7 generations ago, passing on the love of God's Word to Mama Nanny, who passed it on to Mama T, who passed it on to Mom, who passed it on to my wife, and we in turn passed it on to our daughter Beth, our Rachel. She's looking at me, "Don't you even know my name?" It is Rachel Beth, so her middle name is Beth, but we call her Rachel. But we passed it on to Rachel and Jordan, and Lord willing, they're passing it on to their children. Back it up again, we've got Elijah James Trimble, who is our grandchildren's great-great-great-grandfather. And what is very interesting about this Bible is that Elijah James had this Bible to study from when times were turbulent, because it was during the war between the states, the Civil War, that he had this Bible that allowed him to stay true to God's Word, to the point that his son, who was born in 1865, he made sure that he passed that love on to John Elijah, who happened to become best grandfather. But the love that Elijah James had for God's Word, he made sure that he in turn passed it on to John Elijah. And John Elijah loved God's Word to the point that he was willing to leave. Does anyone know where Loco, Tennessee is? Have you heard of Loco, Tennessee? Alright. Raise your hand if you know where Carter Creek is. Alright. Right outside of Carter's Creek used to be a little place called Loco, Tennessee. And that's where he was from. And he left Loco, Tennessee to go all the way up to College of the Bible up in Lexington, Kentucky. And in the 1880s and 1890s, he was a student at College of the Bible. And we actually have, this one is from April the 3rd, 1888. It's one of the sermons that he wrote for one of the classes that he had while he was a student at Kentucky Bible College. And we even have some of his pads that he would take notes when he was a student under J.W. McGarvey and different ones. So we have those as well. And even along with the Bibles, these things show a heritage of the love of God's Word. Well, when John Elijah was 53... he married Mama T, who was 16. So that's why there's a little bit of generation gap between some of the generations before. I've got a few people whispering, "What did he say?" Yeah, again, John Elijah was 53 when he married Mama T, who was 16. But that was back during the era that if you were the oldest child and you had not gotten married before the youngest child, it was your lot to stay with your parents until both of them passed away, then you were free to marry. And so once his mom passed away, the very next year, he married Mama T. And the thing about their marriage is it produced three daughters and two sons. Both sons were ministers along with their occupation. But Mama T saw to it that when John Elijah passed away, she made sure that her kids went through David Lipscomb. So when David Lipscomb was a 2-year college, she made sure she sent all of her kids to David Lipscomb, because she saw the love of God's Word in her husband, who prior to getting married was an itinerant preacher. Carter's Creek, raise your hand again if you know where Carter's Creek is. There's a congregation in Carter's Creek known as Fairview. Do you know where Fairview is? The Trembles, the Roundtrees, and the McKees were instrumental in that congregation being established. Raise your hand if you know where Beech Grove is. Beech Grove is another congregation that John Elijah actually preached for. And so as they were helping that congregation get started, John Elijah preached for that congregation. But they showed the love to their children. Now, I've been talking a little bit about Best Family. We have been blessed with having several generations of Bibles of Best Family. Now, the generations of Bibles of my side start with our grandchildren's great-great-grandparents. These are the Bibles of my granddaddy. And I was blessed to have my granddaddy until I was 12. But I'll never forget Saturday night, both my grandmother and my granddaddy would have these Bibles open, they too reading it and getting ready for Bible class the next morning. And what was so unique about my grandmother is one morning my Aunt Lorraine couldn't get grandmother on the phone. So she called the fireman and she said, "Would you mind going to the house with me?" And they said, "Sure." And this was November of 1968. Now, they found grandmother in the rocking chair with this Bible opened up. She was reading and just fell asleep. Her heart wore out. She had taken care of granddaddy for about 3 years when he was an invalid. But she knew that God's Word would give her peace. And it allowed her to just go right to sleep and go right to be with the Lord. As we think of our heritage, we need to ask ourselves, are we showing the importance of God's Word to our children, to our grandchildren, to our great-grandchildren? These individuals passed the love of God's Word on to their children, which is Bess and my parents. Now, I'm sure everyone has this story, in that living for Jesus has to begin somewhere. Well, for several of these folks, they can take their Christian heritage back several generations. For my mom, it started with her. Her family before her were not Christians. So mother's walk of life started with her. And you know what mother taught me? She taught me the importance of God's Word. Because she said, Monty, when you're raised and you don't know God, the only way you get to know God is to get into His Word. And the heritage that my mom gave us three kids is getting into God's Word. And several of you women, I know that you all a lot of times like to use the one-year Bibles. I don't know how you use your one-year Bible, but what I wanted to share with you, something that my mom did, she would use the one-year Bible several years in a row. And each date, she would take a different color pen and she would write what that passage meant to her that particular year. Then when she went through it again, she'd take another color pen and write again what it meant to her. So we as kids and even grandkids and great-great-grandkids will have the ability to go through and understand what God's Word meant to their grandmother. And you know, it was very interesting to me. My sisters and I knew that my mother had had a child before we were born. But it wasn't until we started reading her Bibles after she had passed away on Ben Jr.'s birthday, February the 2nd, she would write him a little note each year. And that's something that sort of taught me a lesson that when we lose someone, it affects us. But a lot of times when we're little, we don't really realize that. So my sisters and I hadn't given it a thought that my mom had lost a child as an infant. But as we started to get into her Bibles, we realized it made a difference. Both my father and Beth's father were elders in God's church. And both of these gentlemen taught me a lesson in that as a shepherd of God's people, the only way you can shepherd is to be a student of God's Word. So as I go through Beth's dad's Bible, and as I go through my dad's Bible, I'm able to see passages that they underlined and little notes that they wrote. Now, Daddy was a little different. He was taught you don't write in your Bible. So his notes are in other places and not necessarily in his Bible. Now, Beth's dad, thankfully, he was a little different. He wrote notes off and on in his Bible. So I'm able to glean from those notes. But however you do that, you need to make sure that your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids know where to get those notes. Because not only the love of God's Word, but what God's Word means to you, they learn from. Go to the very last slide. One thing my mom did was keep journals. And what you see in front of you is the latter part of the very last journal article she made. And when she passed away, my brother-in-law was looking through to see if she had left any last wishes or anything, and he said, "Guess what? I found her last journal article." And this was dated January the 3rd, 2014. Many years have come and gone, many heartaches, fears, and troubles, many days of sadness, but many days of great blessings, friends, and many, many great grandchildren, all beautiful and healthy. What a great blessing. You have been so good to me, Father. You have been with me all the way. Because of that, I've never been alone. My body is like my home. I'm still able to live in. The house is still standing, has its cracks, not as stable as it was. But it gives me shelter. So it is with my body. Its bones are not as strong or sure as they were 50 years ago. My hearing is bad. My eyesight not as bright. My walk a little weak. But my spirit is well. My love for my God is strong. My eyesight on my home in heaven is bright. The Holy Spirit keeps my heart good. The Lord Jesus Christ walks with me. He will be with me all the way home. As Beth and I consider our heritage that we have through the love of God's Word, it causes us to have hope and for us to know that our children and grandchildren have to see that we have a love of God's Word. And the question I want each of us to ask ourselves this evening, wherever our walk started with God, are our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren able to realize our love for Him? This was my Bible through high school. As you can tell, it's a little worn. And this one was given to me when I started my journey at Harding College. And it stayed with me until October the 2nd, 1997. That's when I was in the hospital with Daddy. And Mother looked over at me and said, "Son, take your Bible, and I want you to read verses that your Daddy loves." So I took my Bible, and I started October the 1st, 1997, and I started reading from 1 John, Jude, James, 1 Peter, Hebrews, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Galatians, Ephesians. And Daddy went on to paradise at 11:50 a.m. on Thursday, October the 2nd, 1997. This Bible has been with me through many a sermon, through many a funeral, through many a wedding. But I decided that it was time for me to get another one. So on October the 3rd, 1997, I took every note that was in this Bible and took time and wrote the notes in this Bible. One reason being is I knew I had two children. And I knew that they probably both would like Daddy's notes. So I took time to write Daddy's notes twice. But the question I want us to ask ourselves is, do we truly love God, and can we make this same statement that my spirit is well, my love for my God is strong, my eyesight on my home in heaven is bright, the Holy Spirit keeps my heart good, the Lord Jesus Christ walks with me, He will be with me all the way home. Shall we pray? Our most Lord, gracious Lord, our God, our Creator, our Sustainer of life, we are so thankful that You love each one of us enough that You gave us Your Word. And we're thankful that we can be anchored in Your Word. And we pray, Father, that we are showing that love of Your Word to our children, to our grandchildren, to our great-grandchildren, and to our great-great-grandchildren. Father, know that we love You. Know that we make mistakes. We're striving our best to live for You. Defeat us in those things that are wrong. Strengthen us in the things that are right. Forgive us, Father, of our sins of omission and our sins of commission. And be with each of us so that when we take our last breath, we know that we will be in paradise and then in heaven with You. We pray in Your Son's name, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Love each one of you.